o'clock hour of Will the Attempt begins now. And the kicking competition began a while ago. Two have already dropped out of the equation. First, it was Jack Podlesny. Now James Turner last week was released. So it's down to two. Anders Carlson, the incumbent. And Greg Joseph, the former Vikings
Greg
kicker.
The leg.
Did you come up with that yourself?
Nah, it's Zuerlein's old tagline.
Greg Joseph, who in practice, and it's just practice, we talk about practice, is now 29 of 31. 29 of 31. Anders Carlson, 25 of 31. So he's four back in the standings. Now, Tausch, my question for you is, I don't think there were many competitions during your time. There might not have been any other than when Mason was drafted and beat out Dave Rayner, which I think we all kind of figured was going to happen anyway. But you played with Ryan Longwell. You went into the Hall of Fame with Ryan Longwell. And then you had Mason after that. How important is it for you as a right tackle or any other player on the team to have a guy in that role that you actually trust?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think it's important. You don't think about it, and you don't want to have to think about it. And I think there was not a time other than the 05 season when they let Ryan go, and it was Rayner and the dude he kicked for the Ravens for a little bit. And the name slips my memory that we thought, but that was a year we stunk. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when you're a losing football team, you don't worry about all that stuff. But there was never a time, whether it was you go up to Minnesota and you need a game-winning kick and Longwell would make it or Mason would come in. And the first year, I think we all knew that he had a strong leg. You don't concern yourself with that as a player. That's management, and they're going to put your football team in a position understanding kicking is a huge part of winning and losing in this league. And now with the added length on the extra point the last 6-7 years, all of those things matter. But as players, you watch it, and for as much as coaches and GMs will say, don't be counting roster spots and don't – you know there's going to be one kicker. And you watch these competitions because a lot of times time off, push-ups, punishments will be laid into off of – Defense has Joseph today. Anders is with the offense. Yesterday would not have been a good day for an offensive player because he missed a bunch of kicks. So that's about the extent of it. You don't get caught up in all that as a player. You have way too much other stuff to worry about.
Billy Cundiff, the kicker trying to think of?
William Cundiff, yep.
So I guess what's interesting is that how do you know that you're picking the right guy? Now, first of all, as I said months ago now, because I think there were people, and maybe, I'll admit, maybe I was in that crowd initially. This is just window dressing. They want Anders Carlson to win the job. They invested a draft pick in him. Bisacci is connected to the family. This is just, we're going to bring in some dudes to create the Sergio Tavecchio effect, which, for those of you that don't remember that story, after Mason Crosby's tough 2012... they brought in a kicker to compete with him in camp whose name was Giorgio Tavecchio. But I think you know that the competition isn't legit when the head coach doesn't know his first name and called him Sergio instead of Giorgio, which is what Mike McCarthy did. So I thought maybe this was going to be like that. But it has become very clear that not only is Greg Joseph legit competition, but he has the lead now. He has been much more consistent. He's made, I think, 13 straight kicks. So, Tausch, now that we are seeing this kind of small separation with a long way to go, right? Family night tomorrow night, kicking inside Lambeau. They're going to kick a bunch of kicks. They're going to kick in preseason games. But now that we're seeing this, Greg Joseph has not exactly been perfect. Otherwise, the Vikings wouldn't have let him out of their building. But are you starting to think that there is a more than legitimate chance that Anders Carlson will not emerge as the Packers kicker in 2024.
Yeah, and you kind of started mentioning this already, probably in June. You brought this up, and because my thought process on this was, you're going to stick with the young guy. You stuck with him last year. Unfortunately for Anders, the team progressed faster than he did. Young players, you know, you heard Goody talking about growing together. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes you get outgrown or you don't grow fast enough and it's time to go. That is what happened last year because they did not have confidence in him, and I don't think he had confidence in himself heading into the postseason or anything else, because I don't think anybody thought we're going to be making a kick to try and go to an NFC championship game.
No.
Nobody thought that. And that's a process. It doesn't you don't just snap your fingers and throw a rookie kicker in there. And if you remember, Longwell missed a little chip shot in that championship, at least the attempted chance, the 97 season, up in Philly. Why I remember
right,
that?
In the old, right, early
why
on
I
in the
remember
year.
That, yep. I don't know, but I do. I couldn't remember Billy Cundiff, but I can remember that. Anders was a big leg. And I think the correlation with him and his brother that kicked with the Vikings and got cut and then ended up with Bisacci out in, with the Raiders, all of those things play into it. But I don't think this is going to save him if he gets outkicked, because every spot in the NFL is meritocratic. Now, there's different levels of meritocracy. There's you're a first-round pick, a page, you ain't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Not for 2 or 3 years. That's not the case here. He wasn't a first-round pick. He wasn't Seabass. He's a sixth-round pick, I believe, or seventh.
Sixth-round
pick. Mm-hmm. You always want your draft picks to succeed. But kicking is zero-sum. You make or miss. There's not, he only missed by a little bit. Oh, that means he's going to be better. Well, that's not how it works. So if you see more days like yesterday, I thought that Anders Carlson was going to get the job. I thought that he would take the steps, and I think if it's close, it goes to him. But yesterday wasn't close, and if that continues, I think they're going to go with this with Greg Joseph, or kicking is as mercurial as there is in this business.
A lot of mercury.
There's a lot of guys that will be cut. There's a lot of veterans that are still out there, and that is a spot that I feel like you can just say, deuces be, we'll find someone else relatively quickly if you're not producing immediately. And that's the hard part of that job in this league.
So you would consider Mason one of your good friends. You would consider Ryan one of your good friends.
Yep.
I always thought, and I asked Greg Joseph this, you know, how much of being a good kicker is mental? I might reach out to both of them because I'm curious what they would say. Greg Joseph said 70 to 75%. Knowing those guys, and look, you don't know Anders. Frankly, I don't know Anders' mental approach or how he compartmentalizes misses, right? But listening to Greg Joseph, I'll be honest, we walked away and Domofsky and I kind of looked at each other and said, I think he's a robot. Like, he's very personable. Like in terms
was
of like
he squeaky?
No, so it's a juxtaposition because he came up to Rob and I in the locker room earlier in camp, savvy veteran move, talking to the veteran sports writers. But like just started a conversation with us. Like introduced himself, and so the three of us just didn't talk for a while. Doesn't happen very often. But when he was talking about
you guys eat that stuff up too.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but that's not a bad idea.
All of a sudden there's a little more pro Greg Joseph articles coming out. Interesting.
Well, if he had not gone 7 for 7 yesterday, his conversation with Domofsky and I would not have gotten him a story anyway. But he seems very like cyborgish when it comes to his mentality. Like it is, he's very
even
clear
keeled.
About that.
Is he even keeled? Dobbs-esque, if you will?
No, certainly. And by the way, I still stand by that, and it's being proven, and more people are talking about him in those terms. But again, you know those guys. You were never a kicker, although did you kick some extra points
in
for
high
the Apaches?
In high school, yeah. I did, yep. Kicked off, straight-toed.
Mark Mosley-Tauscher.
Yep.
how much of it do you think those guys' success, knowing them like you do, even though you were only a kicker in high school briefly, how much of that was just how good they were at compartmentalizing and dealing with both the misses and the makes?
Well, it's, I think from a mentality standpoint, you can't get caught up. You have to process everything. It's got to be a process-driven deal. Like, this is what I do. This is how I routine.
Uh-huh.
That's why they're good golfers. They sit there and golfers, it's all about just repping it and just making sure you try and control yourself, because there's bigger shots. You know, obviously, if it's the 72nd hole at a major, it's not the same as playing the Kemper Open first round.
Why do you always take shots at the Kemper Open?
I don't know, but I just do. That's the difference in how you can handle your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Every kicker in the NFL has a good leg and is usually going to be pretty accurate, or they're not going to even get invited. It's a very tight little deal. But how you handle those pressure situations, that's how you're going to either make it or not in this league. So you better have your process. You better know, you know, whether it's breathing or whatever it is, you better know how to control all of that, or you're not going to be successful in this league. And confidence begat success. Success begat confidence. You can't
confidence
have one with
it. Very sexy. Don't you think?
Well, I didn't even know Riley knew where that button was.
Well, he did, and he nailed it. He hit it right at the right time. It's a chicken and egg deal. You can't have success without confidence. You can't have confidence without success.
You're
so
right.
You better bring it up together. And that's where a veteran has a better understanding of how to get there. And I don't think this thing, this
not
is
betting, over.
This thing is Natasha Bedingfield.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you this: there was a monster roundhouse that landed yesterday.
Mm. Staggered him.
How does old boy bounce back? Because if he bounces back and has a good night down at Family Night, I've seen Mason had some god awful nights on Family Night.
Yes, he did. I was thinking about yesterday.
We were sitting there, and it's like the crowd groaning because everybody wants the fireworks. It was the end of practice, and he's missing, and we're like, dude, let's go, man.
We've been out here two and a half hours.
Let's move the thing up a little bit. Let's put one through the uprights, and let's get the fireworks commencing. And you're sitting there, he's missing, and you're handing out jerseys, and you're, come on, dude. It's from a pressure standpoint, tomorrow night that will be that will be your marquee match.
Yeah.
That looks. And old boy needs to bounce back off the mat because he got roundhoused yesterday.
Clubber langed him.
And hopefully for him, it's like Rocky III. And he gets back and Joseph just keeps kicking and kicking and kicking. And you wear him out. And then you make some kicks, and then you stand up there, and you dedicate it to Paul, or who's the trainer? Mickey. Oh,
Mickey.
You dedicate the kicks to Mickey, and you advance
Mickey.
On.
Paulie was in the corner with Apollo. All right, so I want to get to something else that we discussed for a little while yesterday, and that is Rashid Walker. I spent some time with him, and the opener for our conversation had something to do with the two old right tackles that are on this show on a regular basis. Although in the past, like, 2 weeks, I would say Brian Bulaga's been on it more. You know, one cool thing that they're doing, we've been big supporters of Dream Drive since its inception. Tausch, before AmFam got involved, was out there trying to pick the sturdiest bike available on his way down to practice. They've added a new layer. Not only do they have five bikes that are AmFam provided, but now the Packers are live streaming the whole thing. Like, there are, after practice, they've got a camera set up, and here come all the kids and the players and their bikes. It's the greatest addition, and of course it's AmFam that makes it all possible.
And Packer fans, Dream Drive is back. Come on down to Lambeau Field. Kick off another year of those big smiles in less than a mile. Started on July 22nd, going all the way through camp, little Packer fans can ride between Lambeau and training camp with their own bike or on one from the American Family Insurance fleet, right alongside Packer players. And Jason just mentioned that camera. I see Matt LaFleur. He's riding that bike. His Achilles is healed up. He's riding the bike down there. Jordan Love is doing it. You're seeing all your favorite Packer players and coaches. And American Family Insurance wants to continue the support of this heartwarming event, mobilizing the community to realize their dreams as they ride safe and protected. Join American Family Insurance for another historic year as we keep the tradition moving. Grab your wheels and let's ride Green Bay. Dream fearlessly. Insure carefully.
Get to a little offensive line tackle talk 2.0 after the conversation Tausch and Bulaga had yesterday. That's next. It's Wilde and Tausch. All right, Tausch, I name dropped you yesterday.
Okay.
And look, for those of you who don't listen to the show regularly, there are very few topics that make Tausch uncomfortable. I mean, there's a few. But probably the biggest one is, like we were talking earlier, you want other people to tell you how great you are, mm-hmm. not yourself telling people.
Well, some of us do that, yeah. Some of us do.
I hate you so much. It's great to have you back. Tausch also doesn't like me talking about how great he was as a player.
That's fair.
What a great story he was. And I'm still eager to see the commemorative book that Sarah put together, since I basically wrote the whole thing when you went into the Hall of Fame. But I mentioned you to Rasheed Walker, because Rasheed and I, we've gotten to know each other over the last 2 years. I didn't talk to him much as a rookie. There wasn't much reason to talk to him as a rookie. But over last season and now the process of this season, I've really enjoyed him. He does have an edge to him. I like that about him. But I said, hey, you know, I know you don't know this, but I do this radio show every day, and I do it with another guy who was a seventh-round pick who started at right tackle for a decade. And I said, Mark Tausch. He's like, Tausch?
Yeah.
Now, do you know him? Have you met him? Because he was on top of it right away.
So I have met Rasheed a few times, and I think I love the approach that he had this offseason. You know, listening to him, I've got a chance to see him at the tailgate when they came through Sun Prairie.
Uh-huh.
Got a chance to talk to him for a while. And he could not have been more unaffected.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of times you get out there and you play and you think you do a pretty good job. And then the organization's like, you know what? Let's
Sean Ryan.
Let's grab a first-round pick who's got great feet and has declared he's going to take the left tackle spot. And instead of pouting, he jockoed it. He said, good.
Good.
Bring it. Because I'm going to snuff it out like a torch on Survivor. And by all accounts, that's what he's done to this point. Now, again, stuff happens.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But his approach wasn't, this is BS, this is unfair, blah, blah, blah. His approach was, good. He jackoed it, and that's great, and it's working for him because he ain't got anything handed to him.
No,
I love
not.
That about him. And you know what? People doubted him. Good. Matter of fact, I might start calling him Jocko because I think his attitude is good. Yeah, whatever you want to throw at me, good. You want to put Bosa? You want to come over here? Good. Danielle Hunter, you want to come over here? Yeah, good. Bring it. Yep. Yeah, all right.
Micah Parsons.
Hey, good. We'll take it, and that's what he's done.
Yeah, and remember, Yash Nyman had started a lot of games the previous 2 years. So when David Bakhtiari, there was no, I think on this very program, we kind of assumed, all right, it's Yash time. And then it turned out to not be so much Yash time. He started one game. The rest of the time, it was always Rasheed Walker. So I do like calling him Jocko. That's a good idea. That way I won't accidentally call him Rasheed Wallace.
It's
like
tricky.
I try to avoid.
A stretch 5-4 that was way ahead of the game when it came to NBA basketball.
I have the same problem with Xavier McKinney. I don't want to call him Xavier McDaniel.
Physical player for the Seattle and I think New York.
And then Ketan Oladipo, not to be confused with Victor Oladipo. But that one's a little harder to mess up. So anyway, he knew who you were. He knew a little bit about your story. Here's what I'm curious about. And because we spent a long time. If you missed yesterday, Bulaga and Tausch talking about, there's been two times where you guys have been like super into it in addition to just being your usual insightful selves. And that was when we really got into Zach Tom. And you guys were great talking about him as kind of the next in your lineage of right tackles. And then it was yesterday. Like, the fact that Steno used the word trust And I mentioned that Rashid needs to get caught up on Packers.com, Jocko, because he did not know that the offensive coordinator had said that. He was not aware of Steno's comment, but you kind of saw him light up when he heard it, because he knows.
Yeah.
When a coach says trust, that's huge, mm-hmm. and they obviously do. Let me ask you one follow-up to that that's not Rashid Walker-related, because I talked to Sean Ryan for a little while yesterday. And, you know, we, again, this is why sports writers shouldn't make assumptions, and sometimes I do. I am definitely guilty. Like, you rotate the guy with a 50-game starter down the stretch last year because you're not going to re-sign the 50-game starter, and you're going to just plug and play with the new guy. And instead, the first-round pick has been TKO'd by the left tackle, and so now it's Sean Ryan who's competing with Jordan Morgan. And the last two practices, when the first group was out there, hello, Jordan Morgan at right guard. So if you were advising Sean Ryan, how would Tausch give him a pep talk to say, hey, man, now, hey, you're the one who's got to beat this guy out. Well, how are you approaching it?
I don't think you change your mentality at all. You look at it and say, I'm going to be versatile. And I'm not going to complain, because once you make a complaint, you're in big trouble.
Uh-huh.
So to accept the circumstances you're in, you just need to push and force coaches to say, I have to get him out on the field. He's too valuable and he's physical, and just go about your business. And it seems as if, you know, when Elton takes a day, a veteran day, he's sliding over. He's got versatility. They got him playing center a little bit, with Josh missing some time with some family stuff or whatever he's got going on. So that's what you do. You make yourself a valuable commodity to your football team. And you don't give in. You don't pout. You just fight, compete, 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 and let the chips fall where they may. He could have said after the first year where he didn't play and everybody was down on him,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't. So you know he has that makeup that he's going to keep competing. And it's going to be tough sledding. They want Jordan Morgan to play.
They do, no doubt.
And that's the unfortunate part, but you continue to position yourself that when that opportunity comes, you are ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that last year. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of times this will be a shot to the ego and maybe a little bit of a confidence loss. You can't allow that to get in there. And I would say to Sean Ryan, look at Scotty Wells. And I know you don't need to sit here. And trust me, I know the young guys aren't interested in all these history lessons, but
they're instructive.
For certain they are. And Scotty Wells pouted for a day or two and then said, good. He had a chip on his shoulder bigger than anybody I've ever played with. And that chip said, I'm better than these guys. What the hell are they doing? I'm going to get this spot. And you know what he did? And he deserved it. And he was a heck of a football player for the G&G for a long time. And I don't know if he would have been if things went as easy as they were, as mm-hmm. they maybe did.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had a blank you mentality to everybody. And that is what fueled him. When you're in Sean Ryan's position, I think that same thing can be in play. And that's where I would say, you know, look at your correlations and say, yep, worked for him. That's his attitude. Now, if you're not built that way, you're not built that way. But that would be the recommendations I'd give to Sean Ryan.
That's good advice. If you were also recommending that someone either patch or pave their driveway, there ain't no doubt what recommendation you're making there either.
JSP Johnson and Sons Paving. Well, summer is here, but before you know it, you're going to be prepping for winter. You got the winter, what are they calling it up in Green Bay? The winter whiteout.
Winter warning. This is a winter warning.
This is your winter warning that Johnson & Sons wants to make sure you're ready by remembering the 3 hours of parking lot and asphalt maintenance. Reseal every 2 to 3 years. That was a little long on the syllable. I hung on to the asphalt a little long.
Holding number 65.
If you're holding on to the asphalt too long, you need it repaired. You got the 3 hours. Reseal every 2 to 3 years. Repair when you see signs of cracking or potholes, and replace if there's constant standing water, warping, buckling, or sinking. Don't by hanging on to an A too long. or your tenants with a bad parking lot. Connect with Johnson & Sons today to fix those minor repairs before they become huge headaches. Visit johnsonandsonspaving.com right now to schedule an appointment.
What got into you there?
I don't know.
Best read of the day.
I don't know if it was... I'm not even going to get into what's on TV right now because you can make a correlation. Maybe that's where it went. I'm not going to do that.
Beach volleyball?
Potentially.
Got to turn yes. to NBC. We got equestrian like obstacle course going
Ooh,
on NBC.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I saw somebody posted the airplane full of horses.
What?
I saw
Air
that.
Air Horse One. Really fun.
Oh, that's clever.
That's really
that's
good.
Wait till Johnson & Sons Paving, in addition to asphalt repair, has someone throwing out the first pitch at a Brewers game. Then we're really going to have trouble.
Oh, boy.
I want to get to a question I have about family night. Tausch participated in it. Brian Bulaga changed it forever, kind of like Jordy Nelson changed the Packers' preseason approach forever. I want to talk about that next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Tausch, I think family night started the year before you joined the team.
Okay.
I think it started in 99. Now, in 05... it was like a scrimmage, like the Buffalo Bills, back when joint practices were not that commonplace. Came to town, practiced with you for a couple days, and then were like your, air quotes, opponent on family night. Then Brian Bulaga tore his ACL on a goal line play in 2013, and it no longer was a scrimmage. There was no longer live tackling. And now we are coming up on the 12th or 11th family night since then. And Matt LaFleur is giving Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel a hard time for Spoon. Do you want tackling? You want live tackling? Now, they've done it.
Oh, what did Spoon say? Did you say yeah?
I don't know. I was talking to you at the time because it was during the show. But I know that there is value in that, but there is also risk in that. And I think there's been a family night or two since where maybe they did live tackling with the guys that weren't the frontline players, which kind of reminds me of that time they were up in Winnipeg with the Clinkster, and the field was like there was a hole where the goalposts were for Canadian football. And they basically said, all the important guys aren't playing. You guys could go out there and play, though, you other 67 guys that we don't really care that much about, which I didn't think was great messaging. Does family night need some sort of rebrand? Or with fireworks and just a regular padded practice with no tackling, is that sufficient?
I think it's sufficient. Listen, man, I think some of us old school cats with the 55 padded practices compared to 15, and you know, you could look back in the 60s, the Junction Boys and not giving water, you need to evolve. And I think from a fan perspective, would you love to see a bunch of hard hits and like a full-on game? You would. That's not what this is. And by the way, the price point on getting in is not that.
True.
So I think the Packers have done a really good job of understanding where you're at. A young football team, you saw more Jordan Love. You saw some things last year. I think you'll start seeing that get tamped down a little bit. But you're in a red jersey, your quarterbacks. You're not going to be blowing up wideouts. You're going to get some good run fits and you know, I would think you go pack and go, you tap off. You're not going to be tackling Josh Jacobs to the ground if he plays with the groin, or A.J. Dillon or Lloyd. I don't know. I don't think I would go any full-on tackling. But what I would do is I would make some competitive two-minute drill. I want to see these guys competing. I don't want it just to be a regular practice. And where I thought it got a little bit soft is when they just went to, you know, spiders or not even putting pads on. I still want to see the run fits. I still want to see guys competing, pass rushing, and you want to see that because you're not going to drill the quarterback. So I think that's where, and that some of that was injury related, but we've seen it turn more like just practice where guys are just doing drills, that's fine to warm up. Let's see some competitive. I don't need it to be a war. I don't need it to be goal line short yardage. But what I want to see is some competitive juice flowing, because the players are out there with a 60, 70, whatever, how many thousand people are going to be out there, mm-hmm. if they sell it out or not. Let the competitive juices fly. And as long as you're doing that, you got the great fireworks. I'm telling you, I think from a player's perspective, it's always a cool deal. And
right.
we had kids late. To bring your kids down on the field, and I, you know, went down there with you and your family after one of these early on, it's really cool. So it's a great night. Usually gets rained out. There's usually some type of precipitation.
That's true.
I am convinced that it's the curse of Brett Favre, because it didn't rain a ton until the Favre deal happened, when he flew back in and that whole combustible scenario.
He's up in the luxury
it
box.
Feels as if since then it's been. I hate to use the word cursed.
The great Bambino.
So when you factor all that in, I don't think it needs some monster refresher. I think this is what it is, and you know that going into it. Enjoy the night, tailgate, have the Lambo experience. I love the fact it allows some fans that either can't afford or don't have access to those tickets
right.
to get up there. Because Lambo is still special. Just make sure there's some competitive drills / events that are going on, and not just being a glorified practice.
All right, two other questions for you. And by the way, great. Again, Riley's starting to get into a rhythm now, dropping the spookier, fluky laugh there. That was perfect. One, from an offensive line perspective, you said you don't need to do goal line and short yardage. That is where Brian Bulak, where he tore his ACL on family night. I am curious, from an offensive line perspective, for these guys, for the Rashid Walkers, what do you want to get out of family night that's different than just a regular practice on Ray Nitschke Field, if anything? Is there anything different at all other than there being 50, 60,000 people there?
No, it's not. I mean, you get more juice, but yeah, it's practice. It's still not a game, but there is a little something. And when I did my hit that I did not get Wally Pipped on Wisconsin's Morning News this morning.
Should have been, though.
I just discussed, I think it's really important, especially for young players, because, yes, it's practice. But how many times have you heard when you talk to your scout buddies that you never name or the coaches, they want to see how guys react.
Sure.
When they get beat. And they have a crowd murmuring, or you have that excitement. Do they rise up, or do they cower a little bit? Because while this isn't a game, I would venture to say the atmosphere will be better than when they go out to Denver. They go out to Denver first, right? Is that their first preseason game?
You're such a jerk. Like, the fact that I had a guess that day.
Well, anyways, my point is,
they go to Cleveland first, then
Denver. Cleveland will show up. But my guess is, atmospherically, it will be as good there tomorrow night as it will be for the first preseason game, the fact that most starters won't play. And scouts and coaches want to see, how do these guys react when there's a big crowd? Now, is it the end-all, be-all? No, but it is different, and I believe it's evaluated just a little bit differently than a random Friday practice down at Clark Hinkle.
All right, so my other question, then we'll move on. I mentioned Tom Silverstein asking about live tackling. Do you think that the complete elimination of tackling in preseason practices in training camp, because there is tackling in the three games they play, but I don't think they even tackle when they do joint practices, because that's a recipe for trouble probably. Do you think that contributes significantly to the reduced quality of tackling in the National Football League?
Well, like anything else, radio reps, sales reps, whatever, repping things matter. So do I think it starts the season off sloppier? I do.
Okay.
I think the same goes blocking. I think it's just different. You're not going to be as well prepared. But this is the game we're playing. Stay healthy. get to the game, and hopefully you can last 17 weeks. And so is there going to be a little bit of a learning curve or a little processing that you go through? Certainly. But I actually think the fellas have done a pretty good job. I don't notice that it's as sloppy as it was 3 or 4 years ago. I think guys have adjusted with different drills, robotic dummies, and all the stuff that they're doing. It's helping kind of bring the game back. But yes, there is a little bit of a lag when it comes to tackling and blocking that we maybe didn't see when we had 55, 58 practices and pads.
All right. Family night is tomorrow night. We will see how the young players respond to that. There's a bunch of guys that played, obviously, very big-time college football, but it's still different when you walk out to Lambeau as a rookie. And, frankly, Greg Joseph, who has kicked at Lambeau as a Viking, was even talking about what it's going to be like. Greg the Leg, as Tausch likes to call him. Tausch, I was on my way back last night from the ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football Draft at Dave and Buster's. And before I got walloped by storms north of Sheboygan, I swung by the Oostburg location and made a quick stop at the Quick Trip.
It's beautiful in the summer. There is nothing quite like a stop at Quick Trip. And while I'm on the road, get an ice-cold refreshing drink, like an ice-cold Coke. And this summer just got a whole lot cooler with Quick Trip and Coca-Cola. Play the Coca-Cola Summer Cash Grab Pull Tab game daily this summer in your Quick Rewards app. Can enter into the weekly winner drawing where Quick Trip is giving away a total of $500,000 this summer. 10 weekly winners get $25,000 each, and one final week winner gets $250,000. 500 grand given away on the Quick Rewards app. You can earn extra chances to win by using your Quick Rewards every time you purchase Coke, Monster Energy, Powerade, Body Armor, Smart Water, or Core Power Elite products. Download the Quick Rewards app today. See quicktrip.com/sweepstakes for full details. This morning, went up, got my Karuba coffee down at the local Quick Trip on the way in. Grabbed some Glazers for the team. Again, I just love, you need to get one? Go get one.
No, where are they?
They're in the, I put them in that room. That's where they tell me to put them.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the Rovac room is where I think I put them, right? But a breakfast sandwich, again,
the
great.
Glazer room.
I'm hooked on this app. I love this rewards app, and every month they get the new offers that pop up.
Yeah.
I click on it. It's fun. Join in, and then get on there with that Coca-Cola Quick Trap pull game and pull yourself 10, 25 grand.
Riley is going to go get himself a Glazer. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around. I'm a little curious now that Riley just finished his Glazer.
Are you nervous at all that there was an earthquake up in Sturgeon Bay?
2.9 on the Richter scale,
I'm told. Is that a little baby earthquake?
Wow.
I don't know. The earth is shifting beneath our feet. The world comes at you pretty fast.
I ain't going to lie to you. Don't check your stock portfolio today either.
Woo! Oh, is that
tough,
bad?
Tough day at the office, yeah. Almost okay. As bad as the U.S. versus... quite that bad, but it's trending that
That's
way.
That's troubling. No, I hadn't really... I saw that come across my desk, as you like to say, but I did not delve further into it on whether it's something that I should be concerned about or if anybody felt it. I don't know. 2.0.
I'm not an expert on the Richter scale.
No?
No. Love Pat Richter. Barry Richter's a good dude.
Mike Richter.
The old goaltender.
Barry Richter.
A lot of Richters.
Yeah. I'm curious, when you bring Glazers for the team, being the teammate you are, how many do you bring?
So I used to bring 12, or I'd bring Dunkers and Glazers, but the last time I brought them in, I saw that there was a box still sitting there the next time. So I just brought 6 this time.
And
it's a Friday. I didn't know how many people were going to be in.
Well,
and
Jesse's
the last thing
there.
You want to do is waste Glazers / Dunkers.
That's real. I will say it's 11 a.m. now, and there's still 2 Glazers left after
I've
taken
one. And it's a morning deal. Like, I don't think, you know, you can have them at all day, obviously, but yeah. So I went with 6, and obviously if the box is empty by the time I leave, I'll bring 12 again next time. But not going to waste them.
Sounds
if
like
it was
a
Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to go 12. But Friday,
sure,
especially in the summertime. kind of where we're at.
All right. Well, we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour now that Riley has had his glazer. Do want to tell you, though, that one of the great sales that Fleet Farm does every year is underway right now. That is, of course, Fleet Farm's truckload savings event. It kicked off yesterday. It rolls all the way through the weekend. Stock up with huge deals on your everyday essentials, like pet food, we get that there. Wild bird supplies, we get that there. Household chemicals, and so much more. I'm going to go. We got to stock up again. We're getting low on bubbler drinks. I always get mine at Fleet Farm. They always have a great deal on those. Fleet Farm is also your place to find a fresh set of tires for your car or truck. Right now, when you buy three tires, you'll get the fourth one free. Choose from the best brands like Goodyear, Cooper, Bridgestone, and more. Schedule your auto service appointment today online at fleetfarm.com. We'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour by talking about enthusiasm for this defense. Apparently this got people's attention last night when I said it at the ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football Draft. We'll talk about it next. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.